We're finishing off the first section of Hodu. These psukim were what was said when the Aron Kodesh was returned from the Plishtim, and these were the psukim that was said by the Korban Tamid Shashachar, the Korban Tamid Shabin Arbayim. So we're finishing the psukim of Korban Tamid Shabin Arbayim. And we pointed out yesterday how David HaMelech is telling us, V'imru Hosheinu Elokei Yesheinu, tell Hashem when you're in the final galus to save us as you saved us throughout history and gather us together, Kapsinu Vatsinu Menagoyim, save us in the Goyim, because their effect on us and us not being together and us being interspersed throughout the world makes it harder to thank you and to recognize you and to see you. And our ultimate goal in the final gula is Lahodos L'Shem Kachecha L'Shtabeh P'Tzila Zecha. Spoke about that yesterday. Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam, baruch. So Rav Avigdor Miller points out that it's in the word berech, which is knees, and has to do with bowing down and submitting yourself to Hashem when you recognize all the chesedim that He does for us and how short we fall from being able to return anything to Him at all. So that humbles us and bends us over. Baruch Hashem, Elokei Yisrael. We're so blessed that He calls us His God, the Rashiva is the head of this kindergarten. It just makes the kids feel so like, wow, he's the head of our kindergarten. So here we're saying that God, who created the heaven and the earth, and He lived before, and He was before, and He will be after, and He's the God of the entire world, He's Elokei Yisrael. He connects His name to us and allows us to call Him Elokei Yisrael. And that's just like, and now that He did that, by the way, so the entire Jewish people's existence is protected, because it would be a terrible Chil Hashem if the Jews were to ever be destroyed, or the final end of the Jews would turn into Israel with the Beis HaMikdash serving Hashem wouldn't be reached. That would be a Chil Hashem, and that can't happen. Can't be Hashem would create a world that was a failure. So the fact that He called Himself Elokei Yisrael, linked our future to His, that was the greatest chesed that He could do for us. Min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam. One pshat that I saw by Rav Avigdor Miller is, even if we were to start praising Hashem from the beginning of the world until the very end of the world, it still wouldn't be enough. We'd fall short of being able to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly. It's an impossible feat to be able to do to praise Him properly. Another pshat min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam is, both in this world as we see it now, before the Geula, when Hashem is hidden within this world, we don't see as clearly His divine providence. We praise Him until and even in the next world, when His providence is obvious and we see how Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world in a much more clear and open way, then we praise Him too. So Baruch Hashem, look, it's a mina olam during this the world, the way the world is now, va'ara olam, the way the world will one day be, or also could be from this world olam haza into the next world olam haba, because Chazal say that whoever sings shira to Hashem in this world will be zochet to sing shira to Hashem in the next world. In this world, when we sing shira to Hashem, it's a mitzvah and we're obligated. In the next world, it's schar and it's hana'ah and it's enjoyable, and it's a pleasure to be like the malachim singing praise to Hashem. So Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, that we're zochet to min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam be praising Him. And now, at David HaMelech said, this is in the Pesukim of Divrei Yamim, it says, V'yomru kol ha'am, amen, v'halel Hashem. After David said this whole tefillah, the entire nation of the Jewish people said amen to everything that he said. And then they on their own went ahead and praised Hashem even more, v'halel Hashem. In Tehillim, because we said this Pesukim come up in Tehillim too, and ends off with David HaMelech telling the people, Hallelujah, like, go praise Hashem now. In other words, don't just, it's not enough just what I said, agree to what I said, and then continue and praise Him on your own, which they then do. And that's what we're doing too. In other words, we're saying amen to everything that we said until now, and now let's continue, v'halal Hashem, and we continue in Pesukei Dezimra. The word, second, the word amen doesn't have a counterpart in other languages. That's why, like, even, you know, Americans would say amen. You know, like there is no word in English or in other languages that would match the word amen.
Let it be true.
Which is like, it's confirming, it's agreeing, it's saying, I stand behind this 100% unfalteringly. I will live by this. This statement is true and trustworthy, and I'll, you know, uphold it. So that's all caught in the word amen. Okay. Now we have a series of 23 psukim from Ramu Hashem Elokeinu until Ashir Hashem Ki Gamal Alai. We have 23 psukim, and it's very interesting because they're all interspersed throughout Tanakh and Tehillim, and they're not in order of the way they show up within the Tanakh. They're taken from different places, and they're, and like ideas that are found in the different psukim are grouped together in groups of psukim. And this actually in the safe in the Siddur Tzluta de Avraham, he says, even before Psukei Dezimra was put together, dating so far way back, there was these psukim were called Psukei Derachame, Psukim of Rachamim, that there was some type of skula in the grouping of these psukim, and therefore they took this chunk of psukim that are intertwined, psukim throughout Tanakh, and put them into Psukei Dezimra, because to say these psukim like this is a skula to have your tefillos answered. And they refer to concepts, as you'll see, of Rachamim, and Yeshua, and Chesed, and Hashem helping us. Okay. So, the Rav Schwab on prayer has a beautiful idea over here. He had said in Bar Sha'amar, which I didn't tell you back then, but Nigadelcha, right, when we said, with these Shvachos and Zmiras, we're going to be Nigadelcha, and Shabecha, and Nefercha. Nigadelcha, he said, is in the word Gedil. Gedil is a few strings intertwined together, making it stronger, like gedilim, like tzitzis are gedilim. All these are like a few different strings that are intertwined with each other. So these psukim are like gedilim, where you took a few different strings and you intertwine them together, and they make up their own entity. So this is the nigadelcha that we're referring to in Psukei Dezimra, where we're taking psukim in different places. So the first group of psukim, the first gedil, is the first two. These two psukim don't show up in order, in this order in Tehillim. They are psukim in Mizmor Tzadik Tet. First one is Pasuk Hey, and the second one is Pasuk Tes. And they're put together because they both start off with Romamu Hashem Elokeinu, Yishtachavu, but they talk about being Mishtachavu to something else. And they both end off with HaKadosh Baruch Hu being Kadosh. So let's see. Romamu Hashem Elokeinu v'shtachavu l'hadom raglav Kadosh Hu. Romamu, exalt Hashem, raise him up. And proshtesh Hishtachava is, as opposed to these different words we find in the Tanakh for bowing down in front of Hashem and submitting yourself to Hashem. So Hishtachava is one of the most, is the most intense one, I think, where you lie flat on your face and stretch out your hands and your legs. You're not just bending down or bowing down. You're flat out in front of Hashem. It's like complete and total submission. I have no existence in front of you. Yeah. Mishtachavu lahadom raglav. Hadom raglav is really Hashem's footstool. Kadoshu, Hashem is above our grasp, above our understanding. Kadoshu. So in the second psukim, exalt HaKadosh Baruch Hu and prostrate yourself Lahar Kadosho, referring to Har Abayis, Ki Kadosh Hashem Elokeinu. So what's going on in these two different psukim? So one shot I saw in the Siddur Agra where he says that the first pasuk is referring to, I think, how Hashem is with us in this world as it is now, where his main dwelling, so to speak, is not in this world. We don't have the Beis HaMikdash. His main dwelling is like in Shemayim. The world is just like his footstool. But he is behind everything, but he's hidden behind nature. He's less obvious. We can't see him as well. So bow down and recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu and see that he's behind everything. Just Kadosh Hu. He's beyond our grasp. We don't see it clearly, but he's there and we're submitting ourselves to him. And the next pasuk, is when the Beis HaMikdash is returned to us and Hashem is Elokeinu. We experience him as being Elokeinu, because here in this pasuk we add on Ki Kadosh Hashem Elokeinu, where he dwells amongst us. It's not just a footstool, but he has a bias. He has the Beis HaMikdash. He's dwelling more amongst us. So then also we'll prostrate ourselves in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's one way to understand the connection between these two psukim. Another thing that I saw is of Schwab on prayer. He says that the first pasuk is speaking to all of mankind, and Hadam Raglav is all of the earth, as we say in the pasuk in Yeshayahu, Hashemayim Kisi V'Haaretz Hadom Raglav. In Yeshayahu, refers to the footstool of Hashem's feet, and it calls the whole earth Hashem's footstool. So to over here, when it says Hadom Raglav, is referring to the whole earth being Hashem's footstool, and that's something that's spoken even to the Goyim. Prostrate yourselves, submit yourselves to Hashem, and bow down to Him from upon this earth, which is Hashem's footstool, and goes all the way up to the heavens. Kadosh Hu, He's above your grasp. And then He speaks more directly to the Jewish people who have the Beis HaMikdash, have Har HaBayis, and they could exalt Hashem even more. Romu Hashem Elokeinu v'shtachavu lahar kadosh. That He's saying to us, who we have the Beis HaMikdash, and you submit yourselves at the Beis HaMikdash, at the Har HaBayis, or whatever takes place nowadays, the shuls and the Beis HaMikdashes. Ki kadosh Hashem Elokeinu, He's our God, and we're able to raise Him up even more. We can recognize His greatness even more. That's another pshat that I saw over here. And Rav Avigdor Miller, he says that Hadom Raglav is referring to the Beis HaMikdash itself, and Har Kadosh is referring to Har HaBayis. And the Beis HaMikdash itself, we could say about it that it's Kadosh Hu. It's Kadosh in its essence. And Har HaBayis, we say, V'shtach Bula Har Kadosh, Ki Kadosh Hashem Lekinu. The Kadosh of Har HaBayis is, since Hashem is Kadosh and the Shekhinah is present in the Beis HaMikdash, was on Har HaBayis, that gives Har HaBayis its Kedusha. So the Beis HaMikdash is Kadosh in its essence, and Har Kacho is Kadosh, Ki Kadosh Hashem Elokeinu. Since Hashem is Kadosh and He's present there, that brings Kedusha to all of Har HaBayis. Another idea that's pointed out, we'll end off these Pesukim with this, is that one of the things we're trying to show over here is, since the first group of Pesukim that we said in Pesukim de Zimmer and the Hodus had to do with when the Aron Kodesh was returned to us, so what about in the second Beis HaMikdash where we don't have the Aron Kodesh? Or what about when we don't even have Har HaBayis? But no, since Chazal say that even when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, first of all, even in the second Beis HaMikdash we didn't have the Aron, and even when the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Lo Paska Kedusha Mehar HaBayis LaOlam. Chazal say Kedusha always existed by Har HaBayis, and the Shekhinah is always by the Kotel HaMaravi. It says in the Tanchuma, Ki Kadosh Hashem, Hashem is Kadosh. His Kedusha can't be tampered with. His Kedusha can't be removed, so it's still there. So therefore, even though we don't have the Aron Kodesh, even though since we don't even have the Beis HaMikdash, still you're able to be Roman Mu Hashem Elokeinu, V'shtach Bula Hadam Raglav, Kadosh Hu, Hashem is Kadosh, and He's not gotten rid of. The world is still His Hadam Raglav, it's still His footstool, and the Shekhinah is still by Har HaBayis. Now we have a group of three psukim. All refer to the idea of rachamim, and these three psukim are intertwined. And they're from three different mizmorim in Tehillim. The first one from Ayin Ches, the second one from Mem, and the third one from Kaf Hei. V'hu rachum yichaper avon v'lo yashkes v'yirbala shirapov v'lo yichol kol chama. So, ata Hashem lo tichla racham mecha mimeni, chastarabe mitchata minitzuni, zuchor racham mecha Hashem v'chasadar ki me'olam heima. Those are three psukim that all refer to the racham of Hashem. The first pasuk, v'hu rachum, we actually say four times a day. The psukim v'hu rachum here is the first time. And the next time is going to be very soon again in Yehi Chavod. And then we say it in Uval Etzion, and then we say it again in the beginning of Maariv. So we say this pasuk of Ahu Rachum four times a day. There, I see that in the Siddur Agra, he points out that there's 13 words here, Kenega the 13, Yugim Amidus HaRachamim of Hashem. Ahu Rachum has 13 words, Kenega the Yugim Amidus HaRachamim of Hashem. And he, I don't know which one he's not counting. He says that we say it three times a day. I'm not sure which one he's not counting. Maybe he's only counting the times that we say it in Shacharis. And 13 times 3 is 39. And we're asking Hashem to look at this tefillah when we say it three times as if we got Lamed Tes Malkios. Like the most Malkos that a person could get, the most lashes a person could get is 39 lashes. So we want him to mechaper our sins. So we say this three times because it adds up to 39 words, and let this be considered our 39 Malkos, our feeling bad for the sins that we've done. And with your rachamim, let this be our Malkos, that we shouldn't have to receive Malkos. That's what one of the Peshat Nadat says in the Siddur Agra. That's why maybe we would say this three times throughout Shacharis. Who racham? Racham is referring to the fact that not only is Hashem a rachim, that he has mercy, but he is in essence rachim. In other words, he's a professional rachim. He's always been rachim. All rachamim that exist in the world, we've said before, are sourced back in a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Any rachim and mercy that anybody has in us is rachim that Hashem put in them. So therefore, he's the beginning. He's the source. He's the root of all rachamim. He's rachim. Yechaper avon v'lo yashris. So with Hashem's rachamim, he not only forgives us for our sins, he's mechaper the avon. He cleanses us from the stain of the sin, from the imprint that the stain, that the sin left on us. He's mechaper our sin v'lo yashris. It shouldn't destroy us entirely. V'hir b'lahashiv apo. And he very much brings back, holds back his wrath, his af, and doesn't arouse all of the anger. So in the Mesias Hashem, he talks about how really if this world wouldn't have rachamim in it, and the way the world would be run would be only with mishpat, right? Only with strict judgment, without any rachamim. So any sin, no matter how bad it is, since it's rebelling against our own creator, you with the bodies that he gave to us, just like any other king, if you rebel against a king, off with your head, you die and obliterate you right away. So there would be no patience, and a person would be immediately meted out the harshness of rebelling against the king, and he'd be obliterated. And there's no way to get rid of the sin that you've done. And rachamim, that Hashem saw the world can't exist with just din, and he mixed into it rachamim. What that does is, it means that Hashem will hold back his anger and not punish us right away and give us a chance to do tshuva. The tshuva can make it as if we never did it before, which, according to strict judgment, what do you mean you never did it before? You did do it. You can't make it go away. If somebody cries to a judge, you know, I feel so bad that I killed that person, it's not going to change his judgment. He killed somebody, now he has to be punished. The way Kodesh Baruch Hu judges with rachamim, that tshuva will make it like you never did it. And even when you're punished, he doesn't give you the full harshness of the punishment. He uses rachamim when choosing which punishment for you to have. And that, all these things we see referred to in these psukim. Hu racham yechaper avon. He's ready to make it like you never did it at all. And cleanse away the sin of lo yashas, and not destroy you entirely the way that you're deserving of for having rebelled against the king with his own tools. Vihir bala. Now, Rav Avigdor Miller says we see over here different. Maybe we'll pick up from over here tomorrow.